Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
While there may not be a political solution, the good news is the God of Abraham ain't running for office. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Know who he is. Know his face. He is a God of covenants and a God of miracles. We are leaving the age of man-made miracles of space flight, and we are re-entering the age of miracles of God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
That is not a televangelist, or maybe he's becoming one. It's hard to tell. That is the familiar voice of Glenn Beck, who is otherwise known for a long radio career and a television career and being something of a political firebrand. And now spending, well, it sounds like a couple months in Israel getting ready for this event that was held Wednesday, Restoring Courage, right there in Israel. Was it a political rally? No. Was it a religious rally? Or revival, perhaps? He spoke a lot about Israel, and of course he had some of the leading proponents of national Israel and Zionism right there at his side. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Friday afternoon, the 26th of August. We're going to be talking with Dr. Kim Riddlebarger of the White Horse Inn about Glenn Beck's Restoring Courage event Wednesday in Israel. And then later in the program, you get your chance to listen, to vote, and to pick Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, send us a tweet at IssuesETC, or vote in advance for Soundbite of the Week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Dr. Kim Riddlebarger is a regular guest. He's pastor of Christ Reformed Church in Anaheim, California, co-host of the network radio talk show The White Horse Inn, and author of the book A Case for Amillennialism, Understanding the End Times. Kim, welcome back.
Good, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well. I am confused, though. I follow Glenn Beck's career for a long time, and we've watched this kind of slow transformation into quasi-religious leader, and then I watched some of his Restoring Courage rally from Israel this week. What, the average person, what should they know is behind, theologically, Glenn Beck's statements about Israel, about his interpretation of the times?
Well, I say facetiously I'm confused, but it's because there's so many things mixed together here. A caveat before we go any farther, all that was available, of course, since I was not in Jerusalem for the event, are YouTube snippets. So, you know, we didn't hear the whole thing, and if you're looking on the internet, you know, it's hard to get the whole thing without subscribing to Beck's TV channel. Anyway, that said, with that caveat out of the way, in the, especially in the soundbites you played, you can discern at least three threads. One would be Zionism, and that is the notion that God's end times center around the restoration of national Israel. So that's clearly one theme, and Beck has that in common with a fundamentalist evangelical like John Hagee, who was also apparently there. Then you have Beck's distinctive Mormonism. And it's long been at least a thread in Mormon eschatology that at the end of the age, God is going to regather Israel back to the land as a nation. And yet the Mormons also at the same time contend that the new Zion is going to appear in the United States. So how that works, I don't know. And I'm not an expert in Mormon eschatology, and I'll have to leave that thread for another time. The third thing is Beck's political activism, as you point out. So you have all three things mixed together. You have, on his political side, his concern about our current administration's policy, which he believes favors the Palestinians. So that's one of Beck's motivations. The other is his belief that the end times centers around the return of Israel to the land, the Zionist impulse. And then the third is distinctly, you know, Mormon take, his distinctly Mormon take on the theology of this. So it's tough to pull these threads out and look at them individually. It's not easy.
There's a lot to frustrate the average person there in addition to confuse. And I just like your thoughts here. What I find most frustrating is not the Zionism per se, and not the Mormonism, and not the political position. He's free to hold all those things. What I find frustrating in listening to Beck talk, not only at this rally, but last year, right around this time, he had his August 28th rally on the Mall in Jerusalem with a lot of Christian leaders that I otherwise respect in attendance on the dais, a failure to distinguish what who he's talking about when he uses the word God.
Oh, well, that's just it. God is supremely revealed in Jesus Christ. And the snippets that I saw from the rally in Jerusalem, Beck never mentioned Jesus Christ. Now, I may have overlooked it, but I didn't hear that. And there was nothing that Beck said that was distinctly Christian. A Jew could affirm everything Beck said. A liberal Protestant, politics might be different, but a liberal Protestant of a previous age perhaps could have affirmed all of that. There wasn't a whole lot in there that the garden variety secularist, you know, wouldn't affirm. It was basically a return to some sort of moral value that kind of went unstated. It was a return to the Jewish theme of hope, a return to the land, better days are yet ahead. It was a call to action. It was all of those things. But as you say, there has recently been a very disturbing tendency among evangelicals to, for the sake of political alliances, to downplay the theological difference with Mormonism. And I think I'm with you on that. That is incredibly disturbing. And evangelicals, when it comes to civil kingdom issues, certainly can work with Mormons. I would have no problem voting for a Mormon president if I thought he had the best solutions to the economy, whatever. But in terms of sharing a platform in which you're talking about theological issues, never mentioning the name of Christ, and not differentiating the Mormon Jesus from the Jesus of the New Testament, and then mixing that all together, it's just a mess, as you say.
I want to get into some of the particular teachings of Zionism that seem to, and I don't know for sure, but they certainly seem, especially the association with Hagee, seem to be filtering their way into Glenn Beck's thinking and therefore into his public rhetoric on this. Does it begin with what I hear here and also from Hagee with an idealized view of ethnic and national Israel?
Yeah, it sure does. One of the things that separates, I think, the Christian church in its historic understanding of the view of the Jews and in the contemporary understanding largely influenced by American dispensationalism is the role that Israel plays in the end times. It's been commonplace for Christians to appeal to Israel as a theocracy, as a model for government. We saw the Roman Church do that with Christendom. We've seen kings and potentates, you know, coronated using the Davidic rituals. And so there's long been a tendency for Christians to look to Israel in perhaps unhelpful ways as models of civil government. That's one issue. Then the other issue is the dispensational focus upon Israel returning to the land at the time of the end. And, you know, I think it's a real important thing for me as an amillenarian to affirm is that the presence of Israel back in the land is the pink elephant in the room. You know, our view is that the kingdom of God extends now to the entire earth and is not limited to the chunk of ground promised to Abraham. And we would argue that Paul himself universalizes that promise in Romans chapter 4. And yet it is remarkable in the providence of God that Israel's back in the land. Israel is a nation. And that raises, in my mind, a number of political questions. And this is, again, another place where I think Beck and Hagee are confused. There is a legitimate political discussion for us to have as American citizens about Israel as an ally, Israel as a capitalist society that affirms state boundaries and law and order, and as a good friend and a good ally in that region. That's a legitimate political question, and that gets confused then with this rise of Israel as somehow or another the center point for the end times, and that all of world history now will revolve around Israel until Christ returns. Now, I don't think Beck has the dispensational view of Antichrist making a treaty with Israel and all that. Hagee sure does. But again, those things are all, I think, in Beck's mind, still being formed. I don't think he's thought through all the ramifications of this. And he's certainly coming at this from a primarily a political concern. He's concerned with the Obama administration's apparent support of the Palestinians. And he is also, you know, looking at his Mormon view that Israel is going to become, you know, the focal point of the end. So, you know, those are streams that are in his thinking, and we shouldn't be surprised that they kind of come together in the way that they have.
When we come back, we'll examine how Zionism compares with the Scriptures' teaching on national Israel, on the covenants that God made with his people in the Old Testament, on their fulfillment in the sum and substance of Scripture, Jesus Christ. And before we let Kim go, I got to know what he thinks about Glenn Beck's kind of offhand comparison of himself to Moses. Some people are detecting what they think is a little bit of a messianic complex going on with Glenn Beck, even before he started his rally in Israel. We'll try and figure out what it all means. It is a bit of a confusing mess, but we'll do our best for the next few minutes of Issues, etc. Then it'll be time for you to listen, to make up your mind, to vote, and to pick Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We are coming to you live this Friday afternoon, August the 26th, talking about Glenn Beck's Restoring Courage event, Wednesday in Israel. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues, Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues, Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues, Etc. IssuesETC.org.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues, Etc. The Issues, Etc. business card and the Issues, Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at IssuesETC.org, click Issues, Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. IssuesETC.org. Go to the support page, click Issues, Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
What has moved me so deeply is no matter what time of day I go to the Western Wall, there are people there worshiping and honoring God. I have tried to think of the other city or the other group of people that would hold that space for this long and honor him. He said to his people, I'm coming. Stand here. And they have.
A little bit more from Glenn Beck's Restoring Courage event held in Israel. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. Kim Riddlebarger is our guest, pastor of Christ Reformed Church in Anaheim, California, co-host of the network radio talk show The White Horse Inn, and author of the book A Case for Amillennialism, Understanding the End Times. By the way, you can purchase A Case for Amillennialism at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. I guess bottom line, does the Bible teach Glenn Beck's, John Hagee's, or any version of Christian Zionism?
Well, that's a great question, and the answer to that is no. We know from the end of the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 21, verse 43, when Joshua's getting a bit long in the tooth and the Israelites are considering how they're going to go on without him, Joshua says, look, remember Yahweh has kept all of his promises. He has given you the land he promised. So even in as far back as the book of Joshua, we're told that God did give to Israel the land that he promised. But because Israel's under that covenant that God made with them at Mount Sinai, that covenant, at least the national part of that covenant, is conditioned upon the nation's obedience. And when Israel's disobedient to God, they stone the prophets, they turn their back on Yahweh, they worship Baal, they seek other gods, and so on, they're cast from the land. God's long-suffering, he brings Israel back to the land, out of Babylon, under Nehemiah and Ezra and so on, the temple's rebuilt, the people still drift away, fall into paganism, seek after other gods, and so on. Then, under the Maccabean era, the temple is desecrated. And from pretty much from that point on, the Jews operate under the thumb of some Gentile ruler. So it's very, very clear that by the time you get to the New Testament era, Israel has inherited the land and has forfeited the land because of its disobedience. Then you get to Romans chapter 4, especially where Paul's making the case about Abraham. And, you know, the land promise is originally given to Abraham. And there in Romans chapter 4, verse 13, Paul takes the promise of the land, and because of Christ fulfilling all the Old Testament prophecies, Christ is the new covenant mediator, a better mediator than Moses. He is the great high priest. He fulfills that office set up by Melchizedek, or typological in Melchizedek's life. Christ fulfills those. He's the prophet, the priest, and the king, as covenant mediator. And so Paul takes the promise of the land from the river of Egypt to the Nile, you know, all the way over to the Mediterranean Sea there, the Euphrates, rather. He takes that promise of a land, a geographic chunk of Palestine, and universalizes it when he says Abraham is heir of the world. So it's the New Testament that tells us that Christ comes as the true Israel, fulfills all those Old Testament images of a prophet, a priest, and a king. And so now the kingdom of God goes to the ends of the earth. There is no more sacred nation on earth, not the United States, not Israel. All of the earth is the Lord's, and we are to take the kingdom of God to the ends of the earth as part of the missionary enterprise. So the idea that there is a covenant relationship at present between God and national Israel is nowhere found in the New Testament. And that's the big theological issue that I would have with someone like John Hagee. And again, I'm not sure, Todd, if Beck arrives at this by kind of parroting Hagee and the dispensations, or if he has a distinctly Mormon view of the end times and the restoration of Israel. I'm not sure about that, but the theological problem with both of those positions is the New Testament just doesn't teach it. It universalizes that land to the whole earth.
Mike is listening in Kansas City. Thanks for waiting on the line, Mark.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Wilkin. I wish people listening would consider supporting Issues, et cetera. It's a great resource. And Dr. Riddlebarger, I actually belong to the White Horse Inn discussion group here in Kansas City, and we have your producer, Shane Rosenthal, here.
So, oh, good.
He was here just last week, and we really enjoyed him. I wanted to thank you for sending him over.
Well, good.
Yeah, and I want to ask Yeah, I wanted to ask you a question about, it seems like so many of these, I actually saw John Hagee when he was here in Kansas City a couple of years ago. I went to watch him, and his primary theme is equating American patriotism with Christianity. And that seems to be his primary thing. And he's extending that to the nation of Israel. If you don't support Israel, then you're not being patriotic as American or a Christian. I wonder if you had any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think that's a bad way to look at it. It is perfectly possible and desirable for every American citizen to be patriotic, and that is to obey the laws of the land, put on the uniform of your country to defend your nation, and so on and so on and so on. It means being a good citizen, registering to vote, and so on. That's what it means to be patriotic. The problem with someone like Hagee is there's this constant myth that circulates through evangelicalism that somehow or another the United States is a Christian nation. I know there's a little bit of this in the Puritan forefathers and so on, the city on the hill concept, you know, Winthrop's famous sermon as they're coming across the Atlantic to the New World. You know, that's pretty thick in Jonathan Edwards and Puritan New England. But the idea that the United States is a Christian nation is descriptive only. I mean, we have to say, yes, the United States has had a number of significant Christians here who have been very influential. God has used Christians in America to fund world missions and to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. There are all kinds of ways in which the United States has manifested itself as a generally Christian nation, not Jewish, not Islamic, not secular. But that's far different from saying that the United States is a Christian nation prescriptively, that the United States has some covenant relationship with God, that God's end-time purposes somehow center around the United States fulfilling some political mission. It's just not taught in the Scriptures. It's not found in the New Testament. It might have roots in British Israelism and some other misguided ideas. Whatever the providence of God is, we're not going to know until that plays itself out in history. I don't know what God intends for the United States to do in the end. We may not exist as a nation by the time of the end. We may be in the throes of unbelief. You know, when you read through the New Testament, I think one of the things that surprises you is how much like the Roman Empire and certainly Greco-Roman paganism the United States has become. So it's a thoroughly misguided point. Sincere, yes. Patriotism is a virtue. It's a good thing, but patriotism can't be confused with nationalism. And that's where I think we have to be very, very, very careful, not only to avoid the, hey, it's my nation, God's on my side, God's with me against everybody else, my purpose, my national purpose must be God's purpose. That's a serious theological error. We have to be very, very careful not to make it.
I will talk about Hagee here since he was associated and on the dais with Glenn Beck at his Restoring Courage rally in Israel, and he was the bona fide representative of Christian Zionism there. I think he's probably fits that category very nicely. One of the things, another theme that comes out in his teaching, and I don't know if Beck holds this or not, that remains to be seen, is that as America's loyalty and fealty to national Israel goes, so goes America. America's blessing or curse under God's hand depends entirely on their position vis-a-vis national Israel.
Yeah, it's an utter misreading of Genesis 12 and Genesis chapter 22. At the end of Hebrews chapter 6, the author of the Hebrews, writing to a church of mostly Jews who have just converted to Christianity, many of whom are considering going back to Judaism, the author of Hebrews quotes from Genesis 22, I think it's verse 16, that reiteration of the promise of, "I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you." And the author to the Hebrews, who's probably a Jew and now a follower of Christ, writing to Jews who are now followers of Christ, he argues that that promise, "I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you," has to be seen as God's fulfillment of his covenant, his gracious covenant promise fulfilled in Christ. So to move it to application very, very quickly, "I will bless those who bless you, I'll bless those who are in Christ, I will curse those who curse you, I will curse those who are not in Christ," has nothing whatsoever to do with national Israel or the United States. It has to do with those who are children of Abraham by faith in Christ, are heirs of all the covenant blessings. Those who renounce Christ, who follow Moses, who do do not think the righteousness of Christ or the death of Christ is sufficient, they're under the covenant curse. It has to do with the children of Abraham, spiritual children of Abraham, not national Israel. And that's how the author of Hebrews interprets that passage.
With only about 30 seconds here before we take our next break, isn't that really the issue at hand when it comes to Zionism, whatever brand it is? Are the covenants made by God to his people in the Old Testament fulfilled in Christ, or are they still waiting a fulfillment in national Israel?
That's exactly right. And we heard Beck say that. They were waiting for, you know, the Jews are waiting for God to come. Well, sorry, Glenn, but he came in Christ already. And now the nation of Israel is dispersed among the nations because of that. That's what AD 70 and the destruction of the temple was all about. The whole diaspora was because of Israel's disobedience, cast in the land again. Now, why does God regather Israel at the time of the end? Well, we know it's not in fulfillment of the Abrahamic land promise because Paul himself universalizes that to the ends of the earth.
About 10 seconds here.
It has to do with God's providential purposes for Israel, and we don't know what those are.
Now, when we come back, I can only guess what the Mormon view of the end times is, but I do have a pretty good idea about what the Mormon view of Israel is. We'll talk about that after this. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
A pro-life superstar.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In a recent interview with Rolling Stone magazine, the teenage pop star Justin Bieber was asked his opinion on a number of American political issues. When asked about abortion, Bieber replied, "I really don't believe in abortion. It's like killing a baby." When asked about pregnancies resulting from rape, Bieber said such situations are really sad, but do not justify abortion. With so many wrong messages coming out of the music industry these days, it is refreshing to see a star take a strong stand on life, especially one who appeals to millions of impressionable young girls.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
A church for broken people, where they can come and receive absolution, the body and blood of Christ, have their consciences restored for the sake of Jesus.
The problem with homosexual practice is it implies that my physical anatomy doesn't matter, that I can contradict my own biology.
Every word of law, every damning exclamation is given to you to damn you to death, to kill you, to crucify you, and drive you to Jesus.
The liturgy has an end, and it is my sins being declared forgiven because of the death of Jesus. Contemporary worship, mystic worship, doesn't ever have an end. It just always keeps going, but never arrives.
In about 5 minutes, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We're talking about Glenn Beck's Restoring Courage event Wednesday in Israel. Dr. Kim Riddlebarger is our guest. Two quick final questions for you, Kim. Mormonism does teach that what we call the Native Americans were in fact displaced Israelites come to America, and that's a lot of what their biblical narrative or their Book of Mormon narrative has to do with. Does it disturb you that this may be another strange kind of hybrid of Zionism with regard to Glenn Beck?
Well, absolutely. Article 10 of the Mormon faith, very simple. We believe in the literal gathering of Israel and in the restoration of the 10 tribes, that Zion, the New Jerusalem, will be built upon the American continent, and that Christ will personally reign upon the earth, and the earth will be renewed and received in its glory of paradise. So that's a strong theme in Mormonism, that the Lamanites are here in North America, and they're ancient Hebrews, and problem with that with DNA research is their Native Americans come from a tribe in Siberia and not from Israel. So other than that major problem, it is at the root of the Mormon view of Israel and the connection between the gathering of Israelites together in Jerusalem and the new Zion being built in America. It's a very bizarre hybrid kind of approach to this.
Finally, with only a minute, why is Christianity different from the three religions presented at Glenn Beck's Restoring Courage event, Zionism, Judaism, and Mormonism?
Because our view that Jesus is the eternal Son of God who became human to save us from our sins, took to himself a true human nature to suffer and die on the cross for us. Our Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures, therefore Judaism is either a heresy or a deficient view of the God of Abraham. And Mormonism is a non-Christian, or it's an ex-Christian sect that denies the classical doctrines of the Trinity and the deity of Christ, and therefore Mormonism is some sort of a heretical sect. It may have Christian ethics, it may have kind of a Christian East history, but it's not Orthodox Christianity in its doctrinal expression. Simple as that.
Dr. Kim Riddleberger is pastor of Christ Reformed Church in Anaheim, California, co-host of the network radio program The White Horse Inn, author of the book A Case for Amillennialism, Understanding the End Times. Kim, thank you again.
Always good to be with you, Todd. Thanks.